Y'all are saying by now, boy, is there no beginning to this man's talent? Hit me a chord.
Amazing grace, Lord, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious, dear, that grace appeared the hour I first believed.
Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night, Bible teaching and prayer time, Watch and Pray. And Pastor Fred Peetman has been leading us in Bible teaching for a while now. And what we do is he teaches, and then we have prayer afterwards, Watch and Pray prayer. And then after, however that goes, however long there is need for prayer, and then we stop. So you're all welcome to call in, by the way, to pray, 717-409-5553, or you can come in through the computer, meetings.dialpad.com/MCT911. And let me see if Pastor Fred and others with me here, and Pastor Fred is here. Hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. How are you?
Good day. Good day.
Good, good.
Yeah, quiet, very quiet day. How about yourself?
Very good. I got your notes on Revelation. It's really good. Went through them. It was great.
Okay. Yeah, I've decided that I'm going to teach that Wednesday night. I'll put it together tomorrow, and then because what I do is I teach on Tuesday before I teach on Wednesday. Whatever I'm teaching on Wednesday, I teach on Tuesday. I work the bugs out of it. So I think that that I think that's I want to get it so it's so crystal clear about the structure of the Book of Revelation. But I'm glad you went through it and you looked at it. Did you go through both of them?
Yep. And thank you that you downloaded it for me already. That was good.
Oh, yeah, that way you can print it out if you want.
Yeah, that's good. Were you ready for communion tonight?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
So let me pray, and then we will turn it over to you. Father, we thank you for being able to come together tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So we know, Lord, that you're in our midst, and therefore it's a blessed time. We're asking for Pastor Fred would be able to lead us in communion and then have a nice time in the Word. And whatever we do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant, which you made with us on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, Pastor Fred.
Amen. Well, we come before the Lord preparing our hearts for communion. But it's the only way we can get rid of sin is through faith in Christ. And that's because he made us unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And the Lord Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And he purifies our hearts by faith. As it says in the scriptures, we're sanctified by faith. And the unfortunate thing with the Jewish people were those who were around him at that time while he was on earth. They didn't reach righteousness because they sought not it by faith, but by the works of the law. And that was the failure, that anybody who rejected Christ was not able to receive the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a change over there. One would have to understand that they had literally a couple of thousand years of sacrifices and teaching. And so it would take a work of the Holy Spirit to indicate to them, but there was Jesus there teaching it, wasn't he? He was preaching the gospel to them. But we're to recognize that when we come to communion, that the Lord has given to us a pathway to come to the table, especially those who are born again and his children. We come by faith, and we don't come in the flesh, especially to this table. It's by faith that we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. It's by faith that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by faith that we deal with the old man and his deeds, the old life that we have. It's by faith. We fight the good fight. Not by resolving or by some resolutions, but it's by faith that we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by faith that the flesh is kept under control and that we receive cleansing from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we come before him and ask that we might have a prepared heart, a heart of faith expecting. And so, Heavenly Father, we come before you, asking that our life may be opened before you, and that we may understand that we do not come to this table very lightly, but we come seriously, because it involves the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for our sin. And we thank you for that. We thank you for cleansing of sin. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we have this scripture where Jesus in Luke, I'm reading from. When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. You notice he called it a Passover because that's all they knew it to be. He didn't say Eucharist. He didn't say communion, which we call it. So you see how names change over the years. But he called it a Passover. And then he said, and he took bread in verse 19 of Luke 22 and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is broken, is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In other passages, in other gospels, it said, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So he did ask us to remember him and his suffering and his death on the cross. The beautiful part of that is when he was on the cross, what did he remember? Who did he remember? He was quoting three times, I believe, the Psalms. David went through a great deal of trials and tribulations, and he was a friend of the Lord Jesus, the Lord God. And here on the cross, he gets honored by David is honored by the Lord, quoting him in the one, my God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst, and then it is finished. David went through many trials and tribulations in life, but he was able to pen poems and songs for us. And even the Lord Jesus Christ was able to, in his agony and in his troubles, it all came out of the troubles of David, and then now out of the troubles of Jesus, he was able to honor David. And the Lord does that with us in our lives. He takes us through tests and trials and difficulties and trials, but they produce for him gold and glory. And for us, it increases our faith and allows us to be able to come to him in greater faith and trust. So he took the bread. Let's take the bread up in our hands. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He asked us to remember him and to understand that he went through trials and horrible pain, suffering, scourging, death, shame, that as no other man on earth or in any other time or season has ever gone through, so that he might overcome death for us, for you and me. So let's take the bread in remembrance of the Lord Jesus and take it right now. John, would you pray for the bread?
Yes, Father, we thank you that you, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when it said you gave your only begotten Son, that was to die on the cross and literally become sin for us. So we thank you that your body became sin for us so that we could have eternal life. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen, amen. So take the bread and let us all eat together. Reading from Luke 22:20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And in another gospel, it says, for the remission of sin. He cleanses us from sin. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this remission of sin that you give to us. Thank you for the new covenant, the New Testament in your blood, which you shed for us. Thank you for this symbol that we drink now and recognize that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for us individually, personally. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. And this symbol of his shed blood speaks to us of the power that is in his blood to overcome death for us. So we thank you, Lord, and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Then he said, take, drink, all of you. Let's all drink together. Thank you, Father, for your Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming into our lives. Thank you for the presence that you bring us day by day. Thank you for all the means of grace you have given to us, that we can pray, that we can believe, that we can honor you, that we can bless you, and that you care for us and follow us and help us day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be talking about promises that God gives. One promise from the Old Testament, one promise from the New, and use the word promise. In the scriptures, we have divided, the theologians have divided the scriptures into sections. In some call it dispensations. It's like the section before the flood, the section before after the flood, before the kings, before during the kings, then during the prophets, and then it goes into the New Testament age of grace. So there are sections, and we tend to look at it in a linear fashion with time. It's good to get to know the geography and the history and the time of all these sections. And one section is called the Age of Promise, and that was from the time that a promise was given to Abraham to the time when they left Egypt. That was 430 years. It's called the Age of Promise. And I wanted to read about that in Deuteronomy 1:11. There, in 1:6, it says, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. And then in verse 11, it says, this is the Lord our God, the Lord God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he has promised you. Now, I want to go back and look at those promises that he gave to Abraham, because this is years later. They are about to go into the promised land here. And it's, let me read the verse again, Deuteronomy 1:11. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times as many more as you are, and bless you as he has promised you. Now, the promises that he gave in that period, in that 430-year period when he first spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1-3, you all know it, but I'll read it. I just wanted to share the load of promises that were given time and again, time one after another, both to Abraham again and again, then to Isaac, and then to Jacob many times, and then with the one we just read with in Deuteronomy. And here's the promise. And now the Lord said unto Abraham, Genesis 12, 1-3, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now that's a promise that the Lord, as he promised, as we read in Deuteronomy, it's looking at the promise as it came. Then you go to Genesis 17, and he's promised the land of Israel, that that will be Israel. I better get my glasses on so that I can see this clearly. In Genesis 17, 7 and 8, he promises a land, and then he promises to be their God. I will be a God to you. And then he said he'd be a God to the nation, to the people that he is about to establish. And I will establish my covenant with you. It's in Genesis 17, 7 and 8, and 19, verse 19. Then in chapter 18, he says, all nations will be blessed in him. That's a promise. And then he says in chapter 22, 17, in blessing, I will bless you and I'll multiply you. And then in chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, I will bless your seed. I will multiply your seed and all nations will be blessed again. And then in chapter 28, 13 and 15, and let me read that one because I think it's worth reading. 28, 13 and 15, it says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy brother, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein that you lie, to thee will I give it, and to your seed. He's talking to Jacob, obviously, at Jacob's ladder, that time when he had that, put his head on a rock and had a vision of God. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. A promise. Mentions it again. And then another time he mentions it again to, I'm reading from 28. Then in 35, 11 and 12, he says to them, be fruitful and multiply, he says to Jacob. Gives him the promise again. And then this other one in 49, 10, where he promises Jesus, the scepter shall not depart from Shiloh. The Lord God makes it very clear with promises that these are the promises that he's going to make. And then in, you know, that's the land of Israel we're talking about. It's been there for thousands of years. It was abandoned for a while, but that doesn't mean that he hasn't replenished it and opened it up again. And then in Galatians 3:14 in the New Testament, we have that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There's the promise fulfilled to Israel to be to have a land, to be a nation, to be a people, to have a king. And then the promise is that all would be blessed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Now we have another promise given to us in the New Testament, which I'm going to talk to you about. The church that I belong to, or that I'm preaching at right now, was a Methodist Episcopal church. And it goes back to the 1800s. Some say 1813. The actual building was built in 1919. And the parsonage was built just a year or two later. But during that time in 1800, there was this revivalist lady who was born in the beginning of 1800, and she lived till 1870. Her name was Phoebe Palmer. She was a revivalist. She preached the gospel, And in those days, a woman preaching the gospel was not a popular thing and not accepted very well. But she was a rich lady, married. But they'd been through some difficulties and troubles. They'd had, I think, 6 children, and 3 of them had died. One, unfortunately, died with an oil lamp spilling into the baby's crib. Horrible, horrible. But that didn't stop this couple from serving the Lord. And they brought about great revivals, both in the New York area and areas round about. And then they traveled much. And then in her later days, she opened up a kind of help for the helpless, those who are poor. She fed them, and for many years fed them and gave them things. But the reason I'm talking about this is because the Wesleyan tradition that the Episcopal Church came out of, the Methodist Episcopal Church came out of, Wesley believed in what was called the second blessing. I'm trying to just relate before I go to the promises in the New Testament that I believe has been given to us by the Lord. And I wanted to talk about that. But it was John Wesley talked about a second work of grace in the life of the believer. In addition, there was a concerted effort to extend the faith of the primitive church. And in 1800 in America, the Methodists became very strong. They started off at the beginning of 1810, and they had this idea that they didn't need to have preachers that were necessarily trained in colleges, and that's because there just was none of, and there weren't enough of them. And the idea in Methodism was that they had a method to bring people together. And what they did was have, they would let anybody become a preacher, a leader of a group of 30. It could be a slave, it could be a black person, it could be a white person, it could be a woman. And they would preach the gospel as best as they knew how, and they would multiply. And in 1810 in the U.S., there were about 12,000 of these, what they called these Methodist communities, congregations. They'd meet in houses. They didn't have buildings necessarily. But by 1850, they had 1.25 million of those meetings where 30 people would meet with someone preaching, and they would multiply. And that's how many had multiplied over the years. And so these Episcopal, these Wesleyans, these Methodists, they believed in the second blessing. Now, the non-Wesleyans usually preferred not to use the second blessing terminology. For instance, they would describe their quest for a higher level of Christian experience. The Presbyterians would call it the higher Christian life. The Baptists would speak of a rest of faith. And then others would call them by different names. Let me see if I can get to the list here. This is during the 1800s in this country, in the U.S. Sanctification, others called it. Others would call it baptism of the Holy Ghost. Others called it endowment of power. Others called it, so it had developments in the church. And then finally, it became to be called the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that term was used then by the Pentecostals. But all these other churches where there was someone filled with the Holy Spirit, they used different terms for it. And the Wesleyans used the idea of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was called a second blessing. It was an empowerment on high that caused you not to be able to be silent about the Lord Jesus Christ. It gave you power. It's just like Jesus said, you shall receive power. At Pentecost, they receive power. You shall receive power from on high. And that's why I want to go into that promise that the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, gave to the New Testament church and to us. And that's the promise in the New Testament, which is the promise that he gave to the lady at the well in John 4:4, the water that I shall give you shall well up in eternal life. And then he, in John 7:37-39, he talks about out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, and then another passage, he would tell us about a father giving gifts to a children, how much more shall the Lord give the Holy Spirit? And then the promise of the Father is what I want to talk about. In John 14:16-17, I'm going to open my Bible. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father. And there's the clue. There's the clue. Remember before that, he said, you just ask. Well, that's praying is asking. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And he's telling us that there is someone coming when the Lord Jesus leaves the earth. And you know what he said in Acts 1:8, but it's here he's telling us there's a Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Why the world can't receive? Because they're not born again and they haven't asked the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart. But you know him, and he shall be with you. And then we go from there to John 16:7. The promise again mentioned. Well, let me go to John 15:26. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Then we go to John 16:7. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. A very clear understanding. And then you have, I'm trying to find the scripture where he talks about the promise of the Father, which I think we already mentioned. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, he is faithful that promised. The Lord God promised to them something that would, someone that would come to them. So in Acts 1:4-5, he tells them to wait for the promise of the Father, I believe. Let me read it. I believe it's him who mentioned that it was a promise from the Father, being verse 4 of chapter 1 of Acts, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. There's the promise. Remember, we read the promises in the Old Testament to Abraham? Just as sure as we see the Jewish race, as we see the land of the Jews, as we see the Hebrews, as we see people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, as Abraham, as we who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ are the seed of Abraham, just as sure as that promise came to Abraham, we have this promise, the promise of the Father that he gives to us. Wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And then in Acts 2:23, we see where the Holy Spirit does come. Well, Acts 2, the beginning there, it gives the history of the Holy Spirit falling on those 120 who were waiting, praying. They were praying and asking for the whatever the Lord had for them. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit came with a mighty wind and fire and tongues in other languages that they had. And then in Acts 2:33, Peter is preaching and he talks about the promise of the Holy Ghost. God fulfills his promises. God fulfills his promises to us, each one. He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. He will give power to you if you ask him to give the power to be able to speak and to witness and to testify. Now, I gave you the history of what the Wesleyan movement called it. You know what the Pentecostal churches call it, but it's an endowment of power from the Lord. In the New Testament, the promise of the Father refers to Jesus' promise to his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit to them after his ascension, essentially signifying the Holy Spirit coming to dwell within believers and empowering them. This promise, most prominently mentioned in Acts 1, 4, and 5, with Jesus' instructions to his disciples, all 120 of them, to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And look in Luke 24:49, again he told them before he went to the cross, look, I am sending you the promise. The promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and the Jewish and Gentile believers with Jesus receive that which he provided, guidance, power, and comfort. And it's continued on. It continued on in the Philippian, when Philip went and preached to Samaritans, and when Peter went and preached to Ephesians, and when Paul went and preached, that power came down on people. Whoever asked him, the Lord gives to us that promise. And that same promise that he gave, the promises of God that Abraham received, we have received in the New Testament, a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was sent by God because Jesus prayed for it. He's told us to pray for him to come into our life and to endue us with power from on high. Now, many of us have been given promises by humans on this earth. We know what it's like when someone makes a promise to us. We tend not to forget it if it's not given to us. But we should remember the promises that the Lord gives to us and accept and receive them and acknowledge that, yes, Lord Jesus, you have given to me a promise, and I am going to ask you for this promise. As long as I know you as my Savior, I am going to ask you for this promise until such times as I am endued with power from on high. In Jesus' precious name, I proclaim this. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We bless you for who you are. We thank you for the promises that you have made to men on earth, to women, to children. You made it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to their seed, and to their people. And look what we have, a great nation in Israel waiting for the promises of God to come again upon that nation, but they have been a blessing to us. The land is there. They have come back after 1,000 years of being lost. And you have sent to us a promise when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth. And when he left and went to heaven, he said, I give you a promise, and I promise you, this is what I will give you. And those who receive the promise, the billion that are on this earth today that have received the promise, there are many millions more who have not accepted the promise, Lord, but there are many who have. And I thank you for the promise fulfilled in the lives of many of your children. We praise you, Father, and thank you and bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you, John.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Fred. Those promises, yes, they're, he's promised us eternal life.
Amen.
That's a promise.
But these two promises have been fulfilled, the ones we see that he made out. And to us, when we see it, it increases our faith. The eternal life is something in the future we'll get, that promise that we haven't seen yet. But we do have, we basically do have eternal life here on earth if we would accept it as such. But these were so obviously fulfilled and seen by anyone who wants to know the truth or who would recognize the truth. They are promises that have been fulfilled.
Yeah, and what's and, very... Excuse me. No, go ahead. Finish, please.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, now, what do we do with people that refuse to believe Israel is there because of the promise of the Word of God and Jerusalem's the capital?
Well, they are not in the truth, unfortunately.
Right.
They are not part of his kingdom, no matter what they say.
It's very
if you deny
right.
the truth.
Right.
And that's right. sad. And we need to be praying for them and praying that they might get to know the truth. And that's why you preach so hard. And that's why you, make these brochures. That's why you give books. And that's why you have pastors all over the world trying to bring the truth of the Lord Jesus. Because there's so much that is untruth.
Right.
And there is so much that is twisted and deceiving people, and yet it's under the name of religion. We need to pray and continue to fight the good fight, as you do, John, as you do.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I wrote that brochure, Pastor Fred. I call it the Jerusalem brochure, to bring people face to face with the truth of Israel and the promise that if I have another brochure that I could write about Israel, and I was going to do it, like title it the Eternal Covenant,
and then
the scriptures that you used right there, used basically take what you preached and put it into like a brochure, and so there we have a nation, Israel, that was out of existence for 1900 years, and it's back,
and it's a promise fulfilled.
Yes, it is.
It's amazing. But there's more promises to them within that. There's more, so much more for them to have. There's so much more. But they have been a blessing to the world, haven't they? Jesus was a Jew. The Bible was mostly Jewish. You know, we've received, and they became a blessing to us who are not Jewish.
Yes.
Is that right? Not
right.
Hebrew.
We're the wild olives, Pastor Fred, grafted in.
Amen. Well, wild olives up in heaven, John.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Pastor Fred.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you, John, for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was excellent. You could make a brochure out of that, Pastor Fred, that preaching.
Well, it's what the Lord gave me for Sunday, last Sunday in church. But it was interesting how the different people use different terms for this outpouring that the Lord gives us, the power that he gives us. if you notice, the different denominations came up with different terms, and they finally all settled on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that was only in the late 1800s that that came about. Actually, in 1906, I think, was it?
With the Azusa Street move?
Probably. I don't know. I don't know when that term came into existence, but you know, people called it different things before that, and that's what.
Yeah, one of the big ones was trying to point it. Second blessing.
Yeah, they called it a different thing, you know, but it's interesting how that developed. Most people don't realize that it hasn't been around for 3,000 years. That word, fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Right. Wow. Okay. And so I hope it was received well in the church.
Yeah, I believe so. I would have liked to have stopped and prayed. I don't know, for folk who were, you see, the key that Jesus prayed for the Holy Spirit to come, didn't he? He asked the Father for it. That's
the Comforter.
What the Scripture says.
The Comforter.
Yes. He asked his Father for it. He did pray, and we need to pray. And that's why Jesus said it. Anyone who asks will be given this. It's amazing. So it comes by prayer to the individual Christian, maybe the laying on of hands or the by prayer mainly. Not mainly, but that's how it comes, how the Holy Spirit will come to another person. We cannot, it's just like the 10 virgins. We cannot give as the Holy Spirit gives, as the Lord Jesus gives to a person, that empowerment. We can have the empowerment, but we cannot give our empowerment, our oil, to another person necessarily other than by prayer and by laying on of hands. Generally, it's, you know, what do they do with the Jumeel and Zephaniah? What do? They pray and lay hands on folk? Or it's just you pray in Houston and it happens in Pakistan, in Islamabad. You just pray and the Holy Spirit falls.
Yes.
But it is prayer that brings it about.
Yes, it is.
Brings him about.
Yes. Yes, it is, Pastor Fred. If you don't pray, it doesn't happen. If you pray for the hearts to be healed and minds to be set free and people to be set free from being oppressed to the devil, it happens. Healings, it happens.
Yeah, that's why it's important to say that it needs prayer for folk who are hungering and thirsting for it. Well, you got to pray, babe. You got to pray. That's where it comes from. It comes through the prayer of the Lord Jesus, and we have to pray too. And it's only through prayer. And when you start to pray, it's when the Holy Spirit usually falls at the end of a service, isn't it?
Well, yes, but there was something really interesting. You got my mind going now. We had a meeting with the Hindus, and there was over 1,000 of the Hindus there. Now, these Hindus, the overwhelming number, had not heard the gospel before. They were coming.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So in the beginning of it, before I spoke, with the music, they were singing to the Lord. Now, these are Hindus. Most of them probably never heard. They don't hear music at all there. But while the music and the singing was going on, the Holy Spirit fell. Isn't that amazing?
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the most. That was one of the most exciting. And I was sitting right here where I am now, and I could feel it. Right? I wasn't there physically, but I could feel it. That something was really happening at that event.
Something powerful.
Yes.
Well, that's amazing. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Absolutely. It was like, I reckon it to Acts 10, when Peter was speaking to Cornelius and his band, and while he was speaking,
and all of them.
The Holy Spirit fell.
Right, yeah. Amazing. Praise God. You're right. There are those rare occasions.
Rare. That very rare. Very rare.
Yeah.
That only happened once. Since I've been ministering, it only happened once there with the Hindus in Pakistan.
all the other times you take prayer and it falls and you expect and the Lord does work. But there are times when he does that. That's amazing. And what a testimony that is.
Yeah, and the
amongst
little
Hindus. The Hindus, they've been.
Yes. And the little Hindu kids. Thought? The little Hindu kids, without being invited, came flooding up to the stage where Jamil was, and they were all dancing to the Lord there on top of the stage.
That's the Lord again. Wonderful. Well, thank you, John.
Well, thank you.
We'll talk some more. Another time.
I do want to go over, and when I teach that, I'll send it to you.
All righty. Thanks so much. Right.
But it, I'm going to post the handouts.
Do that. Yeah, that's important.
Yeah. So Wednesday when I'm teaching, I'll have the handouts and I'll give them to the people, and then they'll have the teaching and then the handouts.
Good.
All right. Well, you can't go without us praying.
No, please go ahead. I need it in everything by prayer.
In supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now, anything in particular?
Katie's still in pain. My daughter.
Yes. Okay. So let's go into prayer. Father, we have Katie, Pastor Fred's daughter, before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are waiting, Lord, for a move of your spirit, Lord, as we have prayed and cried out to you, been prayed over. Katie's been prayed over, Lord. So in Jesus' name, Lord, we're asking for that healing. We're asking, Lord, that pain, Lord, will, we ask that in the name of Jesus, it will be free, Lord. She'd be free of that pain, that pain Amen. Is going to subside off her, that she will be, at peace, Lord, at peace. Thank you, Lord. And, give Pastor Fred all the wisdom on what to do, with her, Lord. All the wisdom needed, not man's wisdom, but wisdom from you, Lord. And again, Fred, is she at home with you?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. No, that's been good.
Yes. Yeah.
Worked.
Yeah. Is she in that back room there where I used to stay?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we're asking now for great peace to come upon Katie, Lord, and that pain is going to subside, and we curse that cancer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Curse it.
Amen.
Shrivel it up and die. It's the spirit of infirmity, and we want it to shrivel up and die, and we speak life to her. We speak the life of the Holy Spirit to her. It's the Holy Spirit that created life, Lord, as we know it. The Holy Spirit creates life. So we're asking for the life of the Holy Spirit there right into her intestinal system, and that she will be set free. She'll be healed and set free now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, John.
Yeah.
And, we'll talk to
you. Okay. You've got to go. All right, Pastor Fred. Thank you for coming.
All right. Lord bless.
Bye now. Bye. Hello, Sister Kathy.
Good evening, Chaplain John.
Yes.
Pastor Fred, everybody. It's just wonderful.
He had to go. He left.
I know. I know, but I'm speaking to his residue.
Residue?
But it was, it was wonderful, wonderful. I cannot stay awake, though. I am so sleepy. We've got a cold snap here, and I guess between that and everything else, I'm just out. So can I go ahead and pray right quick?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Lord, we come into your presence right now, and we thank you so much for these wonderful brothers that are sold out, wide open, pedal to the metal for you. And Lord, they are just so gifted and anointed and wonderful to have as tutors and encouragers. And we're just grateful and honored to be under their teaching. And Father, I just pray blessings of mammoth proportions, Lord, to both of them and Pastor Fred's church and Abba Father International and everything that concerns them. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. You are so faithful to reward those who diligently seek after you, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And Lord, we are right now just feasting at the table. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we pray for everything that concerns the body of Christ. We pray for discernment and wisdom and revelation, knowledge and understanding and devotion. And Lord, we just say thank you for the gifts and the callings being without repentance. And Lord, we just want to just say you are working all things together for your good. You're calling people to the front to get business taken care of, to get this thing done so that we can get on to eternity with you. And Lord, I just want to pray for the Bible ministry that poured out into their congregations yesterday. And thank you, God, that there's a never-ending, everlasting fountain of living water that we can drink from. There is meat that we can eat from. There's honey that we can partake of. And Lord Jesus, just the goodness and mercy of God is just unbelievable. So thank you that you're perfect, you're holy, you're awesome, and you love us, and you want to give us the desires of our heart. So we thank you that you are a precious, precious Father that never leaves us or forsakes us, that sticks closer than a brother, that cannot tell a lie, that cannot turn his back, that cannot break his word. And boy, are we standing under some awesome, awesome promises. So we thank you. We thank you. We pray for this coming revival, the new, the awakening, the just unlike anything we've ever seen. So we thank you, God, that it's coming full force, wide open, right down to the outpouring for us. So thank you again for that. We pray for everybody that's standing in need of prayer, those that are discouraged, those that are brokenhearted, those that are confused, those that are just out of gas spiritually or any kind of way, that you are pouring out blessings, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, that are available for any whosoever will. So thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're awesome in all your ways and holy and perfect in all your works. And we thank you for what took place Saturday in Pakistan. Oh, my goodness, Lord, that was beyond imagination. So we thank you for what's going to continue to ripple throughout that service and that ministry. And we thank you. We thank you. We just thank you. And Lord, there's so many other things to pray for, but I thank you that we can rest our bodies. We can rest our mind. We just are just going to sleep with such confidence and rest and wake up refreshed in the morning to start another new day and to give as we have been given to pour out as we've been poured out onto. And Lord, thank you. thank you. Thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, all you have planned for us. And we're just going to say, thine is the kingdom, thine is the glory and the power, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, Sister Kathy. Amen. Now, before we continue in prayer, I just wanted to tell everyone what I've done. Now, I spoke to you about it, Sister Kathy. And what I've done is, as I'm teaching on Wednesday in particular, they've been asking me for, like, handouts.
Oh, yeah.
They've been asking me for handouts. And to me, it was hurting my head thinking of doing it. And I kept on telling them, no. I said, just go over the videos more. But then the Lord showed me to do it. So I did it, and it came together real fast. And I called Pastor Fred up, and I told him what had happened, how the Lord showed me what to do. And he said, well, when you finish it, send it to me. So I did. And then I don't know if you heard, he was commenting about it.
Early. Oh, yeah. He ran them both.
Yeah, and he said he was blessed by it. So what I did was, it's a two-sided handout. On the first side is all the scriptures showing what goes on at the midpoint of the tribulation, the 3.5 years. And there's quite a few. Tomorrow night I'll go over it with everybody here so you could see it, because I'm going to teach it Wednesday. And then the second side is I take the five instances in the book of Revelation that clearly show the second coming of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. And he really liked that. Well, he liked both of them. But with those five times of the Lord's coming, it can't be consecutive. It can't be. How many times? So what it is, it's a pattern within the book of Revelation. You have a pattern of, like, seven seals, Christ comes. You got the pattern of seven trumpets, Christ comes. You got the pattern of seven bowl or vial judgments, Christ comes. And then mid-tribulation, after the warning, not to take the mark of the beast, Christ comes. And the other one, one, two, three, and then his actual coming in Revelation chapter 19, starting at verse 11. So he really liked that. So it makes it clear that the book of Revelation is in sections, and you fit those sections together like a puzzle. And when you put them together, you see the pattern. It all flows very nice. So I will have those handouts. I'll post them on my page there with the handouts and with the brochures. So you'll be able to go to it and download them if you want. And then there's a whole bunch of things that happen mid-tribulation. It's incredible. Right there at the 3.5 year mark, it's incredible what the book of Revelation is saying is going on. A big change takes place in mid-tribulation. So if you think that'll help you, in a couple of days I will have it posted, so you can. In fact, if you email me, I'll just email it back to you.
That is outstanding, Chaplain. That is going to break open some darkness.
It's going to free people from the bondage of the way the book of Revelation's taught, because I have to be careful what I say, but the way it's taught, it's very confusing, the way the Orthodox look at it, and I think it robs power from the way it's presented. The full power doesn't come forward in it,
right?
But the way that I've the way that I show that it's structured, it's a whole different feeling when you're reading it. It's like power there. Power.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, praise God, and He came through, and He's just answering our prayer.
Well, yeah, and the whole thing about this is, in my mind, it just took like this mountain I had to get up over to do it. But then when the Lord showed me how to do it, and it was easy. I mean, I did it because I didn't have to research anything. It was all in my head. So it wasn't like I had to sit down and study and do this and that. No, it was all there. So I just went bing, bang, bing. The only thing was putting it in order took time.
Right.
Instead of, you know, just having one thing here and then something not associated with it and another, I put it in like an order. So that helps a lot too. That helps a lot.
That is so profound. And you know what? If He told us we'll be blessed by studying it, and if it's muddy and doesn't make sense, that's not going to bless us. So you just broke the code and sent forth the wisdom. So thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, there may be a couple other things that I do want to add to it, make maybe a third page. But again, if anybody wants it now, because it's all done, just email me and in the subject put Revelation handout. And mm-hmm. I'll send it right to you. It's easy. And you can see it, print it out. All right. Sister Gigi and Randy, what do you think of that?
Randy said that's great.
Okay.
And I think that's really great. I'm going to email you.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really nice, because it's nice to have it so that when you're reading, you can use the outline too.
Yes. Right. You know, you can read the book Revelation and you get to a certain scriptures there and you go over to my outline and you say, oh yeah, look, this is mid tribulation. Yeah. And then you're reading another. Oh yeah, look, this is mid. And then the whole book of Revelation clears up for you when you see the structure of it and what's taking place in the first half of the tribulation and what's taking place in the second half. It's not a mush. There's clarity in it. There's the vision in it.
Well, it makes sense now.
All right.
That's great. Thank you.
Yes. And then we have Sister Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Good evening, Chaplain John. And I think that's also a good idea. For me, I like to have a hard copy of stuff that I'm studying.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a good idea.
Yeah. Now, here's something else. I don't know if I can't put it in this handout. I'd have to make another page, I think. But because I've taught the book of Revelation so much and studied it so much, it's like the Lord, you'll have, how can I explain it? I can see it, but I can't like speak it, what I want to say. All right, there's a pattern to this. Now, the pattern is you take like these six seals, the seven seals. The first five seals are in the first half of the tribulation. The sixth seal is Christ coming. This pattern is all through the book of Revelation, where God doesn't mention anything about the second half. You follow?
Yes, so, I'm following.
Okay, you get the seven trumpet judgments. You'll see in the seventh trumpet is in Revelation chapter 11. That entire chapter there is about mid-tribulation and the two prophets of God being killed, about the beast being resurrected, about the two prophets being resurrected from the dead. See, that's all mid-tribulation. But you get down to the end of the chapter, and it's about the second coming of Jesus Christ. You see it? Nothing about the second part of the tribulation period. Then you get to chapter 14 about the three angels in heaven. And they're speaking from heaven, warning everybody on earth. And when that's finished, you get down to the end of chapter 14. And what is it about? The second coming of Jesus Christ. God skips over the second half of the tribulation. It's so putrid to him. It's so loathing to him. He doesn't mention it. He doesn't mention it. And then the sixth bowl, the seventh bowl judgment, well, that's at the very end of the judgments there, just prior to Christ's coming, at the very end of the second part of the tribulation period. And then what happens? Christ comes, the big earthquake that shakes the earth, and that the mountains all come down, the islands disappear, and there's big, huge, meteors falling on the earth and all. That's Christ coming. And then, so you see all of them have to do, they end up with those patterns, the seals, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, they all end with Christ coming. Mid-tribulation, all that teaching with mid-tribulation, nothing about the second part of the tribulation, Christ comes. So I see that pattern through the Bible there, through the book of Revelation. So email me, and after the show, I'll get it out to you. Sister Sharon?
Yes, Chaplain John. Yeah, I really enjoyed tonight, and I really enjoying this discussion, about the paperwork and all of that stuff. And earlier today, I was getting myself all geared up to go to your page and start studying and reading all your articles. And then, now tonight we got more.
Articles?
So, keep us busy.
You mean about what I'm posting on my blog?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, let me just show you this before the show. I was looking. Oh, my. It's Acting Secretary of Social Security Administration steps down after blocking investigation into fraud scheme exposed by DOGE. So they're ripping open Social Security, and they've found, I think, 1 million fraudulent people on Social Security. They're like 120 years old, and they're still getting money. All sorts of things. There's no, they're lacking key info. I think they may be lacking Social Security numbers, but they got a name and an address, and the checks go out. There's huge amounts of money. DOGE reveals $4.7 trillion of taxpayer money went into government black hole that is untraceable. Mm-hmm. It's like incredible. I mean, $1 billion is chicken feed compared to what they're uncovering. 4.7 trillion that is unaccountable for? Social Security Administration tries to block DOGE coming in there to investigate all these people that are getting money. So what, she knows about the scheme? That's, they know about it? Amazing, amazing. Federal judge who issued order against President Trump fund freezing, allegedly has major potential conflict of interest. And he is on some group that gets U.S. aid money. He's an officer in some group, and he's a federal judge. That's got to be, what are you doing? And anyways, he got, like, his group got $20, $30 million. And now he's blocking Trump from releasing money, which which was frozen from his group. I mean, it's outrageous what's going on. It's incredible to watch all this. Never ending, absolutely never ending. God, you talk about cleaning house. What God is doing is incredible, absolutely incredible.
And it needs to be done.
It absolutely needs to be done. Now, the next step in this, and this is what we should pray for, is that everyone, we want a big dragnet put out there. And all of these bureaucrats and politicians and lobbyists, all of them that are involved in this, we want them all, thousands upon thousands and thousands convicted for what they've done. Thousands of them. Amen, Sister Sharon?
Oh, yes, I agree 100%. And it's got to be done, and people need to face what they've done.
Oh, yeah. I think some of it is outright treason. Some of them just stole for themselves. But what about those that sent money to these terrorist groups?
Oh, yeah. I mean, where does this come from? Where is the mindset in all of this? And it's definitely not on the Bible. Not at all.
It's evil. It's really evil what they've done. I mean, they hate America, and they'll send money and support terrorists and the New World Order. But anyways, we're going to pray about that shortly. And Paula Jean.
Yes. I think all of this is light shining into darkness. And I give praise for how the Lord has been helping you to do that. And Pastor Fred. And so many more. And as this light shines, I do imagine there will be transformation of some of the churches by conviction by the Holy Spirit and clarification into the hearts of those that have, just not teaching what God wants taught, and bring them around, fools, you know, all the way around to our Father's heart, His word, and the meaning. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit that they can do it. They can inform themselves through reading illumined writings and by hearing people who teach the word correctly. But their heart has to want to make the changes. And we're going to be praying for that to take place too. We have to realize that I don't care who we get rid of. I do want God's will and justice to be done there. And I want our hearts to be brought to where we need to have them brought. So the society will all of a sudden really be supporting this across the nation in a deeper way, a more fully understanding way, so that they too are going to be coming to Jesus as their Lord and Savior and receiving salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
I want the full package. He's gotten started. I don't want him to stop. He's on a roll, and let's just encourage him to continue doing what he's doing his way and helping us to climb on board.
Amen. Amen.
And I know that you're climbed on board, but I know there's some... my distraction of the fall. And he says, it's just because you're not being consistent and praying the protection. I look to you to pray for what you want. and he does. That's why he's given us prayer. And it's learning how to actually activate that in a consistent way every day, not just Saturday, Sunday, time with others? No, we're supposed to do it while we're alone too, you know. And so we're all learning. And I just am grateful for what he's teaching me, and I want everyone else to be blessed too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm sorry I just hopped in there, but it's all like, right. It came out. I was full. You did. Well, you've done really, really good, and I'm just so grateful that you're staying close with him and not letting yourself to be too distracted, you know, with all the stuff that's coming your way. You're still keeping the Lord guiding you, and it's so important, and I appreciate it so much to be able to participate and pray for you.
Well, thank you.
The group.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Because I know Gigi always asks what she can pray for me.
I listen to what she asks you about, and then I'm praying with her. So you're not getting, you know, we're all praying with her. So yeah. She's our leader in that facet.
Leader of the pack. All right. Leader of the Mac pack. Yeah.
Exactly.
So Gigi.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am here.
Here's what you can pray for. That
okay. I thought Paula Jean was taking over.
No. She's gonna go along with your prayer. So, no. Here's what it is. With this handout and what I teach Friday, Wednesday, it could go together as a nice package. So
okay.
I pray that the Wednesday teaching really hits the nail on the head. So the combination of the handout and the Wednesday teaching could really give people a clear image of the Book of Revelation.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Anything else?
We spoke to Pastor Zephaniah, called in today. And John is back home. Evangelist John is back home. He was really shaken by this, but he's strong in the Lord. And Zephaniah said Friday John is going to come to the show.
Is it Thursday
or Friday? He said.
Well, as I was saying, it's either Thursday or Friday, Thursday. But I'm thinking Thursday.
Thursday, okay. Yeah, he wants John to come to the show and tell us all about what happened.
Oh, wow. Because that's why we were just praying like 2-3 times a day, because we knew that was going to be a trauma. No matter what happened to him, was going to be a trauma.
Yes.
And that his family had to be traumatized.
Yes.
You know, and also obviously Zephaniah and the church, but especially Pastor John and his family, and you know what he's gone through in the past too, where they had to go into hiding and all of that. So that's very, we just really felt for him and his family. So we're so thrilled that he's okay, and we're going to continue to pray that God heals them all.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, okay. They'll heal. They'll heal. I think they'll heal pretty quick, you know, with him back. If he had been killed, that was a different story. And quite frankly, that's what I felt, that he had, that they had killed him. So
I thought that too, but I thought, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. It's going to come out somehow, some way, what happened, and I'm just going to continue to believe.
Okay, well, lead us in prayer, please.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm a little stuffed up, so.
It's all right.
It's going to take me a little while. Lord Jesus, first of all, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you that you made possible what was impossible. And you are the one that it says in the word, and it's your word, that no one comes to the Father except through me. And Lord, you made that possible for each and every one of us. So we are so grateful, and we're grateful for all of your promises.
as Pastor Fred was talking about this. And we're grateful that we have Pastor Fred to come and teach us. And he has a very unique way of teaching. And we're very blessed by the fact that he can come. And we want to lift him up to you and ask you to strengthen him and restore him and encourage him, Lord. Encourage him and provide everything that he needs in abundance. And we do continue to pray for Katie, that you would heal her, Lord. And as John prayed, that cancer would die off, shrivel up, and leave in the mighty name of Jesus. And we want to pray over his church, that the people in his church would respond to you speaking through him, and that you would draw more people to the church, and that they would be saved, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I want to continue to pray for Pastor John and his family in particular. We're asking you to heal their broken hearts, to remove any kind of spirit of fear, that you would put an extra strong hedge of protection around them, and that it says in your word that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So that's what we pray over them, that they could have joy at their reunion, and it would strengthen them and heal them and deliver them of the evil that tried to ruin everything in their lives. But thank you, Lord. And I'm actually praying for whoever ordered the police to go out and search. And I'm actually praying that the police that did go out and search, that they will come to you, that this will make an impact on them and their families, so that this would be a blessing to those police officers that rescued him. So we want to thank you for that, Lord. And we're praying for Wednesday nights, and I'm praying for the preparation that John might have still to do before then. And I pray, Lord, that this will be so helpful to people that they will really start to understand and to remember what the book of Revelation is saying. Because this is a tool for people to remember what's going on. So I pray a blessing over the handout. I pray a blessing over John and continued anointing over John to teach it. And we pray that there would be a lot of people that will come and they will be blessed. And we just pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit over everything surrounding that and all of the people and the pastors there. And we thank you, Lord, for your continued instructions to John, and that he can share that with all of us and all of these other places in the church. So we are asking you to bless John, watch over him, protect him, give him a good night's sleep, and amen. that you would be present at that meeting, and that everything would be crystal clear for everyone. And it would be a huge blessing all the way around. We just thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And we bless your holy name and give glory to you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, this is really exciting, because it's like in my mind, I have the whole book of Revelation kind of compartmentalized. And it was really something when I was doing this brochure, or this handout, not a brochure, because I didn't study anything. It just was in my mind. So I put the scriptures down, this and this and this and this and this, and there it was. I had everything right there. But then I figured the best order to kind of like put it in some sort of an order and a little introduction to it. And at the bottom, I put a contact if someone wanted to contact me. And then the five second comings of Christ, I already knew. I had to spend time because it was too much information to put on one sheet. So I had to condense the five comings. So that took time. But I mean, I didn't have to research anything. I had it all there. And I put a little introduction explaining how the book of Revelation is not in chronological order. It's more like a puzzle you fit together. And it was done. So I'm excited. And all that in my mind, it was, oh, drudgery. I got, and the Lord said, no, do it. He said, no, do it.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's exciting to see that it's like a repetition of the concept, you know, all the repetitions, and that's how God communicates in so many ways.
Well, yeah, I just
it's very interesting.
Yeah, because they had been asking me Wednesday night, please give us an outline, please, please. So now I'll have it for them. I have the outline for it. So I'm going to teach the outline. So they'll all have they'll all have it taught, and then they got the handout to reinforce what was taught.
That's great. That's so valuable to have something like that. So that's
Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, John.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, and you heard Pastor Fred was greatly blessed by it.
We already emailed you.
Did you?
Two of those says he needs an outline. And, well, I think we all need outlines before you can start Revelations over.
Yeah.
Just a little comment.
Yeah. And, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Sister Rita, you pray, and while you're praying, I'll mail everybody the handouts, so that way you can open it up and see it. And if you have any questions, we can kind of, you know, we'll pray over it and things now. Because Pastor Fred thought it was really going to go big. That's what he told me when I showed him what the Lord had showed me. He said, "This is so needed." He said the book of Revelation is so convoluted and it's so hard. That's what he told me. He said, as you're talking to me, he said, things are coming together in my mind. Send me this. He said, send me it. So I sent it to him. And then you heard what he said this evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead. Sister Rita, you pray and I'll get it to, here we go. I'm going to send this back to, Gigi and Randy right now. Go ahead, Rita, please lead us in prayer.
Okay. I'll go ahead and pray. Father, I give you thanks for today. I give you thanks for providing water, food, housing, clothing to me, Father, providing this for me, Father. I give you thanks for my vehicle, Father, that takes me to town and back. I praise you, Father. I give you thanks. For you have created all things. And I give you thanks for this, Father. Father, I pray for President Trump that you will encourage him, put a hedge of protection around him and his wife and children, Father. And I pray that you will comfort his heart and direct him in the direction, direct President Trump in the direction that you want him to lead America, Father. Also, I pray for J.D. Vance and his wife. I ask that they also will get I pray for them, for a hedge of protection around them and his family, his wife and children. And I pray that you would also guide and direct J.D. Vance in helping Trump in the direction that you want them to take America, Father. I pray for the J.D. Vance and his wife to come to the saving knowledge of your son, and that they would turn to you and cleave on to you and your son, Father, and love you with all their heart, soul, and mind. And I also pray this also for President Trump, Father. I don't know if he's saved or not, Father, but I think he is. And I pray, Father, that Trump would love you with every, with his whole being, with all his heart, soul, and mind. And Father, I pray for America. Well, wait, Father, I give you thanks for giving Trump to America, Father. Thank you. And Father, I pray for America that you would heal and forgive us. I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America, Father, from the east to the west, from the north to the south. And I pray for the America, for the Christians that are in America, that we would not be lukewarm towards you or your son, but the Christians would love you with all their whole heart, soul, and mind. And Father, I also pray for Israel. I pray that you give peace to Israel. I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. And I also pray that the Jews in Israel will come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. And I also pray that you will protect the IDF, put a hedge of protection around them, Father. And I also ask for this, that the young men and women that are in the IDF, that they will come to the saving knowledge of your son. And I pray for that you would, I pray and hold up Prime Minister Netanyahu to you, Father. I pray that you would encourage him, strengthen him, and comfort him, Father, and protect him from the evil men and women that wants to do him harm. And I pray, Father, that you guide and direct him in the direction that you want him to take Israel. And I also pray for his wife, that she will know your son as her Savior, and that she would be a good helpmate for Netanyahu, that she would encourage him and that she would love him like she should, like a wife should. And protect them, Father, and encourage both of them and comfort them, Father. I also pray for Chaplain John that you would strengthen and encourage him and his family, and that you would also guide and direct Chaplain John in all that he teaches and all that he writes, and that everything that he teaches and writes, Father, that you would anoint, and that would be a blessing to the hearers of what they hear and what they read, and that many souls will come to the saving knowledge of your son, and many hearts would be healed. Father, I pray for Pastor John that you will strengthen his body and strengthen his heart and encourage and comfort him, Father. And also I ask that you would help his family, and that they will, that you would also strengthen his family and encourage his family, Father. And I pray for Zephaniah's church, that you will bless Zephaniah's church and bless Pastor Zephaniah, that you would encourage him, and that you would encourage him and comfort him, and that you would bless this church. And I pray for all the churches in the Abba Father Fellowship, Father, that you bless the pastors and bless the churches, and that you will bless the churches and the pastors, and that you will protect the churches and pastors, Father, from the surrounding, that you would protect them from the evil people that are trying to do them harm and their churches. And I also pray, Father, for Pastor Fred, that you would bless this church and bless Pastor Fred, Father. And also I pray for Katie, Father. I pray that you would heal Katie, and that you would strengthen her body, comfort her, and encourage her, Father, and heal her. Heal Katie, Father. And Father, I pray for everyone that is listening online tonight, for the people that is on Facebook, X, and Rumble. I ask you to bless each and every one of us, Father, and encourage us. And if anyone has a broken heart, Father, that you would heal their broken heart. For I pray this all, Father, in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful prayer. Thank you. Thank you so much. And if you did send a request in while Rita was praying, I was sending them out, but I was listening also. So, Gigi and Randy, did you get yours?
Oh, I didn't check because I'm on Randy's phone and I sent you the request, but I will.
Okay.
I will. You know, John, I want credit. I started a trend.
Okay. You get credit. You get an atta girl. Okay. Sister Sharon, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Yes, I will. Dear Father God, I just thank you once again for being able to be together and hear prayer and to be prayed for and to just everything that just needs to be done to help save people. There are so many people out there who don't know you, dear Father God, and it's so important that we let that light shine and tell them all about you. Tell them about salvation. Tell them about having a broken heart and being able to send them to have their broken hearts healed and come listen to Chaplain John and stuff and hear all that they need to hear. And dear Father God, I am just so, so thankful that I have all these wonderful, wonderful friends here at Abba Father International, and that again, that we can all get together and we can pray and we can just be out fighting the fight, the good fight for you, dear Father God. And it's just like, I think it was last night when we were talking and they were talking about you get out and you pray, you'd be in the middle of the field and nothing's going to stop that prayer. It's going to just go on and on. And that's one thing that we have to remember. The words that we say are so important that we want people to find out about you, dear Father God. And we want people to be ready to grasp what you are wanting us to know. And that we all learn more every day from coming and listening to Chaplain John and to all that he's doing overseas here in the United States, and just the wonderful, wonderful teachings. And I just pray everybody is able to get on and listen to repeats, and or if they can't hear it live, and they can, a lot of storage area in Rumble and on Chaplain John's page and stuff. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that we do have the ability to go and share this information. And I do appreciate that everything that everybody's doing. And I just want to pray for those who are sick and that they need healing. And I just also want a very, very thankful shout out to my son, Bobby, who's helping me every day, everything that he can do to help me. And I do appreciate that. And I am just so grateful for my family and for Abba Father International. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Paula Jean, thank you, Sister Sharon. I did answer your request.
I saw. Yes, I've got it. Thank you so much.
Okay. And if you would lead us in prayer. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I thought, in a way, I had already prayed, but I knew that, I mean, it is so wonderful when Gigi asks you what you want to have her pray.
Uh-huh.
And the Holy Spirit always adds to the package. And so she's a blessing for me to pray with. It's just, he works a good work in and through her and Randy. And I just wanted to make sure that they knew that I knew. And so you have a good team here, John. Amen. You've really been blessed.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
So, Heavenly Father, I do pray for special blessings for each of the servants of this ministry, Father God, whether they're here in the video interaction and Uber conference room, or whether they're overseas and just busy doing your work at different hours of the day because their time is so different. I'm praying, Father, that you're doing the things that, like, you've blessed me with personal attention when the needs come up, to let me know, and I want them to know how close you are with them. It brings such a joy and humility, touching of the heart. And it is something that keeps people going, Father. I'm just saying, I thank you much, but I want it so much for those who have been dedicated. I imagine that they're all getting something that's as special as what I'm talking about, and that's called your personalized blessings, the ones that just speak to what the needs are in the moment because you've been paying attention, not necessarily because they or anybody else has prayed for it. And Father, you are so awesome in how you're able to do that for how many people around the world? We cannot even imagine, but you are able, and you like to do that. You like us to look to you. You like us to lift things to you in prayer. So I do pray that no one hesitate when they're in need. And I'm talking about, if anybody that might hear me talking right now and praying to you, that they will all, because the Holy Spirit is there to remind them, lift to you what the need is, so that you will have the door open to you to pour down the blessings that your heart wants to pour down, that will actually address the need sometimes in better ways than we know how to pray for. And so, Father, I just do, because I want your people to be always be strengthened even more by your love, because it's consistent and it draws us to pray to you even more and to look to you and spend time with you and ask you what you want. And Father God, these are interactions that only happen when we are reading and then responding and doing what we can to always be drawing closer to you. I pray, Father God, for you as supply provider that over there in Mokura, Kiowa, for Zephaniah, that there be provision. I don't know whether those people, when they found the police, when they found, you told me today how that he's Evangelist John, when they found Evangelist John, whether they were able to recover any, you know, of the electronics and phones, telephones.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying, Father God, if they didn't, because they weren't looking for it, I pray that the request makes it to their office to double check to see if maybe some of the things can be recovered from the people who were holding Evangelist John. And that's just a thought, because it would really help Zephaniah. Obviously, he somehow gotten arrangements where the communication and the broadcast can be renewed. And I am so, so, so grateful for that. However you've done it, I thank you. But I just put out that other thing, because if people still are holding their property, I would like that to be returned as well, in Jesus' name. And I thank you and praise you for what you already did last Saturday. And we're just praying for that to continue to multiply and grow in blessing for the people who attended that meeting, Father God, especially for those who received Jesus as Lord and Savior. We're always so thrilled to hear such response and reports. And all I can say is keep up the good work and keeping your people strong, healthy, and able to carry on the dissemination of what Chaplain John has put out there and is continuing to produce new information, and that the distribution become easier with more funds coming in. And that's what I'm also praying for, Father. So, and Nancy's recovery and Sharon's recovery and all of those that are working for you in this group, I do pray, Father God, you be with them in bringing healing and wisdom, direction, what to do, and great joy as we partake in listening to what Chaplain John is doing and showing us greater understanding and connecting of the puzzle pieces for Revelation, because that's the one book in your Bible that you're saying is blessed for people to read.
Yes.
And yet it takes the decoding, the seeking out, the understanding for the blessings to come forth. And I think it's for such a time as this that you've been blessed to be used to open up even greater blessings to more people. So I pray super blessings on Chaplain John for his willingness and his availability and receptive hearing and just rejoicing as you show him new things and putting them together and showing us the results of your handiwork, Father, in his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, what I'd like everybody to do is, if you can go over the handouts, and if you have any questions, bring them up tomorrow night, because I really want this fine-honed when I go to teach Saturday. So I have a presentation I'm going to give, but you feel free for any questions as we're going through it, because I'm really excited about this. What a tool for people to see the real function of the Book of Revelation You know, and apparently God wants it at this time now. And if yep. if you remember through the years how upset I would get at those Bible teachers that the sixth seal is signs in the heavens and not the second coming of Jesus Christ, because it messes up everything. If you get the sixth seal wrong, everything's messed up afterwards. So now I got a chance to highlight the sixth seal and how it's important to have it right. All right.
So it'll be good for us all to be able to go look.
Yeah,
and
go
study.
Just take a look at it. And because I lay it out in a pretty good order, in a real good order. And so when I'm teaching it tomorrow night, let's have a lot of interaction on it.
Sounds good.
Okay. God bless everybody. Good night with Pastor Fred teaching and the discussion and the prayer. Like I said, incredible things, nonstop now. How much fraud was there? That America was one big, they were just stealing all this money and running up debt. We wouldn't be in any debt except they've run it up on us. I mean, absolutely evil people in every way. Lord, thank you that this has been uncovered. Lord, I pray that the country could hold together till the rapture, Lord. I pray that President Trump will be a great blessing to Israel, Lord, and that great blessing will carry over to America. I pray Lord, it's going to be like hundreds of millions of dollars are going to be cut out, Lord. Amazing. With this now. And I pray all the criminals that were involved, especially the politicians, all of them, Lord, if there's Republicans in, they got to go too. This is a cleaning of America and the great, and we know the youth already, Lord, with Generation Z, they call it. We know that they're ready for the great outpouring, Lord. Exciting time. We want to be right, not on the sidelines, Lord. We want to be right in the middle of it. And especially, Lord, the brokenhearted brochure is so important. And also the Jerusalem one, Lord. It's hard to get traction in America here for it, but it certainly got traction in Pakistan. I mean, the believers were at a feeding frenzy to get that brochure, like Jamil told me. They took every single brochure. He wanted to keep 500, and they wouldn't let him. They demanded all of them. So, Lord, it's exciting. It's exciting, Lord. What times we live in. Lord, who knows how many souls have been saved through those brochures, Lord. They've gone out in huge numbers, circulated all throughout Africa and Pakistan and India, Lord, and Sri Lanka and Nepal and Spanish now, Lord. A lot have gone out in Spanish, and I get little feedback, Lord, about what's going on in Turkey with the brochure, what's going on in Cuba with the brochure, winning souls and pastors learning it and preaching it, memorizing the prayer in it. Amazing, Lord, amazing. And Lord, I pray that these handouts that I have would go far and wide to settle people down with understanding the book of Revelation, that they would understand it, and that blessing would come upon everyone, Lord, that reads it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless everybody, and Lord willing, we'll see you. I won't see you tomorrow morning because I have the men's meeting, but we'll look for you tomorrow night, and we'll be teaching on, I think the title will be something like The Structure of the Book of Revelation. All right. God bless you now.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift today we claim.
Send the fire today.
fit to live or die.
Seven.